please consider calling into the show today. We have a number of hot topics, and your voice needs to be heard. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is your opportunity to make sure your opinion is heard over the noise of the media. James T. Deshay is committed to bringing the voice of the people to the world stage. He'll select topics, but your voice will be the focus. So take time to spend with him and inform the world of your views. We can no longer sit back and let others tell us what to think. The cost of being a silent majority is too great, and too many lives are being destroyed. The leaders around the world need to be put on notice that their jobs and careers depend on how well they listen. Call in on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 657-383-0309, or Thursdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 347-855-8867, or Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 657-383-0309. Why don't you add Thoughts, Love, and Reflections to your weekly schedule? If you have story ideas or topics of discussion, contact James Deshay at 407-394-9819 or email djames82@aol.com.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
Hello, everyone. This is your host, James T. Deshay of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. And just like all other days, I am so happy and pleased to be here with you and just so look forward to the opportunity of sharing my thoughts with you in hopes that you will also enjoy sharing your thoughts with me about the topics we select during the show. So today we want to just get started and just talk about what's going on in our society and how it impacts us and how we relate to it and what kind of positive steps we can take to make better things happen in our world. I want to just say to you, the media plays a great part notifying us of the issues, letting us know about the stories that are serious in our world and impact us in a negative and positive fashion. But also the media alarms us about things that we may not have to be alarmed about. It's important for us to be concerned about those individual organizations who may be out to harm us, but we also should be fully aware of their abilities that they have to do that harm and how often that may occur. And it seems like right now the media has us in a heightened alert related to terrorism when there is truly no reason to be so alert about terrorism related to America. We know we've seen some horrendous things happen overseas in several different countries, in France, in Spain, and some other places where terrible bombings have taken place. We've had some terroristic-type actions or events take place here in America as well, but there are fewer and fewer less of those events happening, but the media keeps us in a high alert status even when there is nothing to truly be afraid of. So we need to take into account what kind of things that we really need to make the major issues in our country. We cannot be alarmed and alert for every issue. We have to put the issues in some type of order so that we can address them in an appropriate manner. And it seems like this day and time, we have the terrorism alert up too high because we're just not having those kinds of incidents. We know that other people are dealing with those things on a much regular basis than we are. So it's important for us to try to address things in the proper manner. I wanted to give you a few instances of situations where it seems that we don't have the proper understanding related to the dangers in our society. I see the numbers that there are nearly from 1996 to 2002, there were 320,000 Americans died in homicides or suicides during that period of time. It amounted to almost 45,000 people a year were dying during that period of time. Roughly amongst that same period of time, only 6,500 Americans worldwide had been involved in a death situation. And the majority of those died during 9/11, an incident where nearly 3,000 people were killed at that one moment. So you see that a lot of the talk about terrorism here in America, it doesn't add up. You're more likely to get struck by lightning than you are to be killed by a terrorist. And most of the time, the violence that is done in our country are done by people who are Americans and not by terrorists who somehow got to this country. In the last few incidents that took place, these incidents took place and were taken out, were done by people who were U.S. citizens and not by people who had just migrated to the country. So a lot of times these fears that we're having are out of proportion with the things that we should be afraid of. I'm going to just give you talk about myself as a for instance. I wake up every morning and I watch the news and I interact with my community, and not once do I ever feel like I need to be afraid of immigrants. There is not a whole lot of crime from my standpoint here in my neighborhood. There's not a lot of crime in Orlando from my thought process, but they're truly the people who need to be the most worried or concerned are not, it's just local individuals, it's local crime. It's not crime coming from outside the city or somebody coming in to do something drastic to Americans as a whole. It is local crime that deals with drugs, that deals with people trying to rob people and that kind of thing, and it's not something that sticks in my mind. So when we see these national surveys that are taking place where a lot of Americans seem to be afraid and concerned for their lives related to terrorism, I think it's kind of blown out of proportion, and that we need to really look at what is the most important in our nation. If we did something about the domestic violence in our country, then that would save a whole lot more lives than any effort we put toward stopping immigrants from coming to our country and causing chaos. The chaos that is being done in our country right now in cities like Chicago, Miami, Manhattan, Los Angeles, Dallas, Houston, you know, and the such come from people who were born and raised here in America. That's the violence we need to try to control and reduce, and make sure, because when we have 30,000 people dying every year from homicides and suicides, that's where we could make a substantial difference in the lives that are being lost. If we made some effort to get rid of the guns that can kill several people within minutes, these assault rifles that should only be in the hands of military, if we got those out of the public, and see, that's the problem. Anytime we start talking about removing guns from the general public, there's going to be an uproar. And it is not the immigrants that we have to worry about. It is the domestic people. It's the United States citizens who don't want to reduce the number of guns that are in the hands of the general public. And a lot of times we have people talking about, hey, we need more guns. More people need to carry guns, and we'll be safer in the classroom if teachers carry guns. We'd be safer on college campuses if all the students carried guns. That doesn't make any sense to me. So during this political period where we have a lot of people who seem to be wanting that, be tough on immigrants, want to be tough on the Middle East, want to be tough on Iran, what you see is a alertness regarding terrorism that could be reduced because there is no need for all that fear related to us here in America. We want to be on guard. We want to be to make sure that our government is persistent in reducing the fear even further. But to me right now, the fear is out of proportion. There are too many people seem to be too sensitive to Muslims and to immigrants, as though every Muslim and every immigrant is somehow a potential terrorist. And terrorism is strong and is out of proportion in a lot of places, but not here in America. So we need to kind of take a step back and look at some of the things that impact our lives a whole lot more. We have a lot of people who are dying in car crashes. We have a lot of people who are dying as a result of drug abuse, heroin, and all other kind of things. So when we put too much emphasis in an area that is not killing as many people as we may think, it takes away from those areas that do have a lot of people who do need some assistance. We need a lot of money put into prisons and finding out ways to help inmates to become lawful citizens. Money needs to be placed in that area. And if we put money into the wrong area, then we don't have the impact that we need to have, or the bang for our buck that we need to have in reducing crime or reducing the number of people who are locked up and in jail. So a lot of times we need to make sure we fully understand how afraid of ISIS we should be. Some people are too afraid of the thought of ISIS coming to this country that we can't not make serious changes in this country to affect those things that are seriously dangerous to our well-being. So it's important that we evaluate what it is that is truly killing Americans and what it is we should be afraid of, and not allow people to escalate our fears unnecessarily. And that is what I believe is the case when it comes to people like Donald Trump. The homicide rate in America is an epidemic. We kill every year as many people as some small towns in our country. Can you imagine that if we were to just eliminate a small town in the United States every year we eliminated another small town of 30,000 people, we would go crazy. We would never allow such a thing to happen. But because it spread out across the whole United States, people don't look at it and are not as fearful of it as they should be. If you're going to be afraid of anything, be afraid of what may impact your life the most. Not what has impacted your life the least. And it's important for us to try to make a difference and fully understand what is the threat to Americans. What is the honest threat to Americans? Not the threat that the media has pumped up. And not the threat that someone who's trying to get elected plants in your brain, but the true threat to your livelihood, the true threat to your happiness, and the true threat to your existence. That's what we need to make sure that we're dealing with, and dealing with things in the proper order. We're going to go to the lines and see if there's anyone who want to discuss, you know, what might be a false fear. Are we falsely fearing something that our media is building up to be the next threat when it's truly not a threat at all? Kathy, are you there? You know, we want to make sure that we have adequate actions for every action that takes place. We want an equal action to that situation. We don't want to be in a situation where we're acting inappropriately or just getting everybody in an uproar about something that does not deserve to have that type of alertness. We need to work at doing what is right at the right time and using our resources accordingly so that we have the resources in the right place at the right time. We're going to take a short break and we're going to come back. And I also want to alert you all to the fact that when you come to Orlando, Florida to visit, that we want to make sure that you visit the Wellsville Museum. This is one of the highlights of the Orlando area that we want to make sure everyone stops by to visit. The Wellsville Museum is found on 511 West South Street in Orlando, Florida, and we clearly always look to make sure that you're given an opportunity to see the type of history that was here in Orlando long before the mouse came. We're going to take a short break and we'll be back. All right, we're back with your host, James T. Deshay of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. I want to remind all of you, I want you to get in the habit of visiting my website. That's www.JamesTDeshay.com. That's www.JamesTDeshay. There are a lot of things there I'd like you to look at. I want to lead you to leave your comments. I want you to talk to me about the possibility of you being a guest host on the show. We're always looking for people to talk about the things that they focus on, the things that are important to their lives. We want to bring that to our larger audience and make sure that everyone is fully aware of what's going on in our communities. I also want you to visit my website called BargainsForYou.pw. BargainsForYou.pw. It's a great website as well, one that I know that you'll find interesting and be able to find a lot of information that will also impact your lives and may even change your lives as well. So please visit that one. Also, feel free to give me a call and talk about what we can add to the show to make it even better. I have gotten a few suggestions, and I'm looking to make some changes based on those suggestions, and I want you all to be a major part of my show. So feel free to call me at 407-394-9819. That's 407-394-9819. Also, guys, I want to just share some additional information with you. Almost 200,000 men and women were killed or injured in vehicle accidents in the United States during the year 2001. Again, almost 200,000 people were killed or injured in vehicle accidents in the United States involving drunk driving 2001. A total of a little less than 3,000 Americans were killed or injured in the 9/11 attack that same year. You know, see, that's why we have to, you know, we have to come to grips with controlling our fears and directing our monies and our interests into the things that truly could have an impact on saving lives. Driving drunk is a major issue. It kills far more lives than are killed and doing with terrorism. Every weekend and every evening, we have people who are out there killing people because they want to drive and drink. That should be something we put a major focus on. That should be where we put our money. That should be where we put our emphasis. That's where we should ask our elected officials to try to make a dent. You know, you want to put your money where you can get the most bang for your buck. We have people running around here talking about immigrants and them coming in and killing people in our country when we have people driving drunk who get offense after offense until they kill some family, and then we stick them in jail for a long period of time. People have to, you know, we have to make sure that we recognize where people can be. I'm just trying to play all kind of music here today. We have to be recognized where we need to put our money and what kind of impact can have on saving lives. A lot more lives can be saved if we can solve our drug issues, if we can solve our drinking, driving drunk issues. You know, that's where we should try to focus our money on and stop being so worried about these immigrants or ISIS coming over here to attack us and spending millions and millions of dollars on a threat that may or may not happen. We're going to go to our phone lines again and see if we can get a conversation with our audience. Regina, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Regina, what I want to ask you, why are we so consumed with the threat of ISIS and the possibility of them coming over here and killing Americans when we have so many issues with Americans killing Americans. I was looking at this where it showed that 200,000 people were killed or injured in vehicle accidents in the United States involved drunk driving, whereas less than 3,000 were killed that same year, which was related to the 9/11 attack. Now, the 9/11 attack was terrible, but what about that 200,000 people we could save if we could figure out how to stop all this drunk driving?
Well, James, the same premise, in my opinion, is the same premise as we getting upset about white policemen killing black people when we don't even look at the number of black people who are actually killing black people. We don't put the, we do not put light when the mirror is put in our face so that we can see the man in the mirror or see the reflection. It's easier to blame somebody else for an issue than to take charge or take control of an issue that's right there in your face. And also admit that you do not have an answer for that problem.
And I think you're right. I think a lot more money should be spent in these major cities where they have a very high crime rate against African Americans, against society, period. That we need to spend more money saving the lives of not only the people who are dying as a result of gun violence, but the people who are being involved in gun violence. Their lives have value also. So we need a solution on both sides of that coin, especially when you see Chicago has already gone over the 500 count for homicides in that city, and the year is not even over yet.
Well, just like, you know, that, and I use that as an example, I don't want to get off of the topic that you're on, but it's easier for America to point the finger, but they don't look at those three fingers that are actually pointing back to them. When they point the finger to ISIS, or when they point the finger to the illegal immigrants, you know, how did these illegal immigrants get to come into this country without being stopped? How did ISIS become such a force when we have all of this money in our government, which is supposedly able to help our government be one of the strongest governments in the world?
Well, one of the things I don't want to see is I don't want to see America designated as the police force for the world. We need to get in grouped with other countries who see the issues as well and build some kind of cohesiveness that allows us to fight these battles together and not just be done by America alone. I think we're doing a good job in terms of reducing ISIS effectiveness, but it's not going to ever be perfect. I saw something the other day, and I want to ask your opinion about it. I was born in 1960, and I don't remember there ever not being some kind of conflict in our world, in our country, in our society, ever since I've been born, and I've been here 56 years now. We had a conflict with Russia and Cuba when I was not old enough to even know about it, and then we went into Vietnam. We look like we've gone in and out of conflicts for my entire 56 years of life. And so there have been very few conflicts that have actually, in my 56 years of life, that have affected or impacted our country on our mainland. So I'm not sure what we're so afraid of. Yes, 9/11 was awful. Yes, every time some domestic person decides to blow up a building or shoot people with assault rifles, it's a horrific thing. But I don't think we need to be making Americans run afraid of some invisible force that is going to come and destroy our country. We always need to be on guard, but we don't need to be overly prepared for that one little threat that somebody believes is going to happen. You see, have you always seen there been some kind of conflict that we've been in and out of for your lifetime?
Oh, yes. There's always been some sort of conflict where we've gone over into somebody else's conflict. It might not have been something that we necessarily were in to protect our nation. And I must admit that I am in no way an authority on wars and the reasoning behind wars. So all I can say is that I wish America would take care of its own, would watch its own values, would give credence to the things that's going on in America that's keeping it from growing and being the greatest place on earth. And we're already great because people flock to get here. They lose their lives to get here and stay here and take advantage of what we have. But for those of us who are here constantly and who live it, I wish America would take care of its own first.
And that's what I'm saying, too. There's so many things that we need to focus on and that we need to bring attention to that really would make a major difference in our society. But yet we seem to be stuck on ISIS and some of these other organizations that clearly don't kill as many people as drunk driving, as drug abuse, drug overdose. Now we seem to have an epidemic of heroin throughout our large cities, and a lot of people are dying from overdoses of heroin. We have a lot of people dying from obesity. There's so many things we need to be focused on that are killing a lot more people than terrorism is, but we're just so afraid of terrorists that we're spending a lot of money on terrorism when we could be spending money on domestic issues that would save a lot more people.
Well, now, I do have to say that I'm glad that we are spending money to train our Homeland Security on terrorism, because a lot of terrorism has been stopped because of the folk who were trained to protect our nation. So I am in favor of having that training and of protecting our nation. I'm definitely in favor of that. Wish also that America would look at the things like what's keeping it so divided. What's keeping the Americans within these peaceful shores divided amongst themselves? Why can't we all live and get along? So those things are things that I'm really concerned about and wishing that we could overcome those things in addition to our shores from ISIS. Not necessarily the illegal immigrants, but from the terrorism that exists.
And I think you're right. I do think I'm satisfied with Homeland Security. I'm glad it was created. I think it was needed, and I'm in full support of them. But I think we again need to evaluate what are the crucial issues that we need to solve in our country to save more lives. And sometimes I think we spend too much money in certain areas that will not save as many lives as the areas that we've named. Again, alcoholism, drugs, you know, suicides. Why are so many people killing themselves in America? You know, our VA, our troops, we need to spend money on them, keeping them safe and letting them know how much we appreciate what they have done for our country. There are a lot of different areas that I think are higher on the list I have or in my mind when it comes to the threat to America versus ISIS. We're going to go to the phone lines and see if anyone else wants to add their opinion. Two seven six five. Would you like to give your opinion on whether or not America has really gotten in order the things that truly threaten our society, or are we being just scared to death, made to be scared to death of ISIS, and there's so many other things that we need to be thinking about?
Well, no, I think ISIS is an issue. It's a critical issue. And a lot of the things that you name, like alcoholism and some of the other, those are self-destructive things. So not necessarily that they should be higher up on the list, but those are things, like I say, self-destructive in a way that they're, most of them, some of those issues and sicknesses, what you're saying, is brought on by individual. But as far as ISIS, that's something that you're trying to protect our way of living. If they infiltrate into the United States, we have a terrible issue about that, and we would be no different than the other countries that are really in crisis. So I really do think that ISIS is the number one issue that should be at the forefront. That's how I personally
feel. But I know that there should be a... We they're not here, and we want to keep them out. But when we're so afraid of the number of deaths that they cause, and I'm saying when we have 200,000 people dying or being injured as a result of drunk driving each year, there are more people dying of drunk driving than we've ever had die of terrorism.
Well, that's true, but when you look at it, those drunk drivers, those are things that are self-destructive, and they are not done in numbers either, more or less, you know, within a group. When you're dealing with ISIS, they're self-destructive and trying to destroy, to make an impact, and, I mean, thousands of people. Look at the 9/11. You know, that's the type of what we're trying to avoid and prevent again. So you got to look at, as far as what you, by people dying of alcoholism, drug abuse, but those are done not as far as an impact on a group at once, more or less. So that's what I think the value of why ISIS should be the head of the list, because we are addressing some of those other issues, but those are issues that other answers and other medical can take place to cure that type of what you're speaking of. But when you're talking about foreigner, something foreign like ISIS trying to infiltrate and destroy, I mean, thousands and make a big impact at one time and really change the face of our freedom and culture, what we stand for, I really do think that more should be done as far as infiltrating here in the United States, because they are here, more or less, from what they're trying to say, they are styling themselves to prevent ISIS trying to change what I a lot of young people's minds. Even think negative of their country enough to even go join an ISIS. That's what should be concentrated on and seeking that out, more or less.
Well, I'm afraid I believe that the media has overstated the issue to a, such a degree that what you're saying is what most people believe. But at the same time, when we have 500 individuals being murdered in one city like Chicago, and every year you allow 500 to 600 people being murdered in every major city, those add up to be more deaths than has ever taken place by ISIS. And so if we solve those issues, we'd be saving a lot more lives than the what happened to 9/11 was terrible. And we have sought to make sure that that doesn't happen again, and it hasn't happened in a very long time. But what we have not solved is the individual issues that kills thousands and tens of thousands of Americans every year, and we don't seem to be as interested in intervening in that aspect. You know, why do we have...
I think the only thing that's preventing and hurting us from addressing the particular issues is the people who we put in to represent us in D.C., because it's about the power of guns. That's destruction. And when you look at what is going on as far as what you're saying is what is happening, the shooting, the killing, mainly, you know, that's something that can be corrected. That's according to who we sent up to Washington to represent us. And we need to start sending a message on a local level. And my thing is that we need to start visiting these senators, going and infiltrating in their neighborhood and give them a wake-up call.
And you're right. I mean, we need to send a message that, you know, this is not going to be tolerated. I don't care if I'm black, white, Asian, Jewish, or whatever, Islam or whatever. I don't want to be killed by a domestic bullet, just like I don't want to be killed by a terrorist bullet. So I want to be safe no matter who has the gun.
You got it. It's scary, but my thing is that you got people like John McCain here in Arizona. They believe in guns, you know. I guarantee you that he probably would be just as scared as anyone else if you start infiltrating in his neighborhood and start banging up a couple of those people in the rich, rich neighborhood. I bet you some of those laws will change. But as long as they're looking at it, well, hey, you know, it doesn't affect me, and it's always in the black neighborhood, let them kill each other up. You know what I mean? That's how they look at it. But I think that what we need to do is stop hurting ourselves a lot. We need to start taking life. I'm so surprised at our race now where we don't value our life the way that we used to. You know, you didn't hear a lot of blacks shooting up each other, cutting each other up, whatever. But now, you know, everything goes and it's scary.
You are so right. Regina, what are your thoughts that we've had about talking about elected officials? How do we put a fire under them to get them to understand that we want to be serious about crime in our neighborhoods and our communities and our cities and our state, so that we save the lives of our young people from the threat of domestic violence?
Well, as I was listening, something came to mind that I'd forgotten about. And it was a recent incident within the last 2 months where there was a man in Charlotte who was arrested, and they found him with a lot of guns and whatever, and he was found to be a part of ISIS. He'd gone overseas. He'd become whatever you call it. And he was ready to do some damage. Well, when they researched, they found out that this man used to live in the same complex where I stay. That thing shook me to the core for a few days. Because we would see him and his wife walking, you know, going on walks. They wore the long, whatever you call them, and all of that. And I was glad that they had something in place to monitor these going and coming and to catch this person, because it was just by the grace of God that he moved to Charlotte. But it could have been us involved in that type of terrorism. So we still need ISIS because they're right here. I mean, not ISIS, but we still need the Homeland Security because they're right here. But
exactly.
On the other hand, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Exactly. I agree with you. Go ahead. Talk it. Come on,
on the other hand, we had another situation to occur right here in Colombia. And this is just to show that it's no problem until it really affects the other the other side. We had a shortfall of $3.8 million within our school budget because someone did not do the Title I. They didn't send in the paperwork for the Title I funding, which comes to the neediest children in the district. Well, I was like, okay. Nobody was really putting on a big fuss about it until it was told that those funds would have to be replaced out of the general budget. Now, you have a huge uproar. You have folks calling for our superintendent's resignation. Well, where were they when it was just the money were not coming to the district? Now, when the money has to be replaced and it's taking away from the other, now there's a huge uproar. So just like my sister out of Arizona said, when we start going into those neighborhoods, then we're going to get results. Here in Columbia,
that's right.
we have results right now because the university students, the white university students, are doing all sorts of nasty, filthy stuff, urinating all outside, being found naked from being drunk in the white neighborhoods around the white university. But where were these people's outcry when we were having black folk and having all of these issues in the black neighborhood? Now they have a blanket law. And I said, yes, give them their law, because if that law works on one side of town, it's going to work on the other side of town.
Amen.
Well, that's what I'm saying to you. I think that we need to somehow be able to designate additional funds in the areas that truly impact the lives of Americans. And we need to truly evaluate how much bang we're going to get for our buck when we're spending all this money out of fear, that we need to reevaluate whether some of those monies need to be used in our local communities to make our local communities safer, to make them, I have a honest fear or a concern about all these young people who get caught on these drugs. We need to really, maybe the war on drugs is wrong, but we need to intervene into saving some of the lives of these young people who constantly getting caught. I don't know about you all. I am strongly against marijuana being legalized, and it looks like it's going to be legalized across the country as we move forward. I'm very in fear that Florida will be the next state to legalize marijuana, because they only fell short by a few tens of thousands of votes in making it legal this time. So if we don't watch out, marijuana is going to be running rampant, and that might increase the number of deaths by traffic accidents if everybody's on the road smoking marijuana.
I think there's enough money to divert those fundings that are going to frivolous things. You have millions of dollars going into installing toilet seats or paying thousands of dollars for a Swiss one swift knife, because you see what I'm saying? We need to become better stewards of what we have.
Exactly.
It's enough money out there. It's just demanding accountability for that money.
Demanding. That's right, Regina. That's what we got to start doing. I think we've been looking the other way too much and just being silent and just letting things slide. You know, we need to start being a voice. We need to start asking, holding them accountable. I want to know what you're doing with the money, because we need it here. What can we do to get it here over to this? What do we need to get it over on this side, you see? That's what we need to start questioning them and asking our congressmen, putting them to work. They need to start earning their money, because my thing is, if you can't pass the budget, you don't need to get paid.
Now, that sounds like a good idea. I bet you they'll pass the budget if you tell them that their wages was attached to it. That budget to get passed with no trouble then.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's what we need to do. That's what we need to start. That should be a rule. That should be a law. If you can't pass the budget, you can't get paid. I bet you a lot of stuff will start happening, and we can get this country back on the right foot. I bet you. But now we're not holding them accountable for nothing. And they fight Obama insurance, but do you know they get health care for life? They get the top of the line health care for life. And here they saying, here in Arizona, the first thing that they do is elect me, we're going to overturn Obama. That's what Trump coming up in here saying. You're going to overturn Obamacare. But when I look around, Obamacare has helped a whole bunch of whites and not blacks, because, you know, blacks have always been survivors. They're going to make it happen, you know. But it's ridiculous. We're going to overturn Obamacare.
I will tell you that my insurance was reduced from $700+ to $350 through Obamacare. I just retired in January, and I was looking at nearly $800 a month for insurance until I got Obamacare, and it was reduced to $350. So I am very happy with my insurance.
And on the flip side of that, my Obamacare has gone up almost $500 a month, where... But of course, I just turned 65 too, so that's my Medicare, and then I got a supplemental insurance. So therefore, with the Medicare that is being taken out, which is close to a couple hundred, and then I'm paying at least $350 to $400 for the supplemental insurance. So it's up there. But you know, if it's gonna help the other people and for us to get it, like it, Social Security, I'm for it. You know, everybody was
trying to
secure
it. I like what you just said. Some people are always crying about how much something costs them, but they're not looking at how many more Americans have health care and who can go see a doctor. We can't always just think about ourselves. We have to think about the country as a whole, that Obamacare is good for those people who didn't have no health care.
Exactly. That's true, and that is true. I don't want my predecessors, my coworkers, or my friend or my neighbor be afraid to sit up and be half dead because they so scared that they can't go and get some get medical care. I mean, you deserve that. You deserve that. So when
as an American, when you're born here.
You got it. It should be like Canada. Everybody in Canada, if you're a Canadian, you're getting free health care. And my thing is with McCain here, he make me sick, because the first thing he's saying, you elect me, re-elect me again, I'm going to overturn Obamacare. For what? You got health care for the rest of your life, the top of the line. What is it that what are you doing?
I tell you what, you are so right. It burns me to no end. They always talk about what they're going to get rid of, but they don't have anything to put in its place to help those people who are now presently on it. He fought to get something, to do something, and all they can think about is destroying what he put in place and not putting nothing better in its place, and that's ridiculous.
I don't know what is happening in your state. Here in Arizona, too, is that a lot of those, the insurance who was on in the Obamacare, they're reneging, and they're not doing it. So now a lot of these people are going to be out of health care. It's sad, too. It's crazy.
And these same companies, because they're so used to making billions and billions of profit, they don't want to do anything that's going to make them less profit. We're going to go on a break again, and I just want to tell you thank you all for so much. You know, every time when we have these good conversations, the hour goes by so fast. And let me take another quick break, and we'll come back and try to finish up the show. Tomorrow at 6 p.m. Take care, everybody.